Genesis chapter 19.
The two men said to Lot, "Do you have anyone else here, sons-in-law, sons or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out of here, because we are going to destroy this place. The outcry to the Lord against its people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it." So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who were pledged in marriage to his daughters, and said, "Hurry and get out of this place, because the Lord is about to destroy the city." But his sons-in-law thought he was joking. With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Hurry, take your wife, your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when this city is punished." And when he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and his two daughters and led them out safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, "Flee for your lives. Don't go, don't look back. Don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away." But Lot said to them, "No, my lords, please. Your servant has found favour in your eyes, and you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life. But I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me and I'll die. Look, here is a town near enough to run to, and it is small. Let me flee to it. It is very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared." And he said to them, "Very well, I will grant this request to you. I will not overthrow the town you speak of, but flee there quickly, because I cannot do anything until you reach it." That is why the town is called Zoar. By the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had risen over the land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulphur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew the cities and the entire plain, including all those living in the cities and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and returned to the place where he had stood before the Lord. He looked down towards Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and he saw dense smoke rising from the land, like smoke from a furnace. So when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham, and he brought Lot out of the catastrophe and overthrew the cities where Lot had lived.
This is the challenge when you preach through books. You end up with passages like this, but God's word speaks even when it's challenging. So let's pray. Father God, as we approach these very sad verses in your word, sad events when people have rebelled against you and lost sight of who you are, Lord, we pray that your spirit would guide us now as we reflect on these verses, and that you would guide us that we might be made more and more like Christ. We pray this in his name. Amen. Kodak was once the very top of their game. For years, they were the most popular brand in photography. If you wanted to take a family photo, capture a footy grand final, or take a snapshot of your very first car, chances are you would do it with a Kodak camera. We've all heard the saying, a Kodak moment. That's just another way of saying a memory worth recording. See, Kodak, they ruled the market, and it seemed nothing at all could knock them off their perch. However, sadly for Kodak, everything was about to change. Back in the 70s, Kodak engineers actually came up with the very first digital camera. But when they showed it to the officials, the important people within Kodak, they decided to suppress the technology. You see, they were making too much money off selling film. And they were worried that if they started selling digital cameras, they wouldn't be selling as much film. They had pushed their design and technology into neutral. And while they were doing that, other companies like Sony, Canon, and Nikon, well, they developed digital cameras of their own. Year after year, they got better, they got cheaper, and pretty soon, hardly anyone was buying film anymore. But by the time Kodak woke up to what was going on, the race was already over. And in 2012, that brand that most of us have grown up with went broke. Not because they didn't have the technology to compete, but because they stood still while the rest of the world moved on. And here's the thing. It didn't happen overnight. It was slow. It was a steady slide. They thought that they were staying in the same place. But in reality, the world kept on moving and they were slipping behind. Our walk with the Lord can be just like that. There is no neutral in the Christian walk. If we aren't active in our walk with the Lord, reading our Bible, spending time reminding ourselves who we are in Christ Jesus and what he's done for us, then we aren't actually standing still. We're drifting away from the hope we have in him. If we aren't seeking God's will in our lives, then we're being swept backwards without even realizing it, as our priorities slowly but surely align with the priorities of this world. And as I say these words, you might be thinking, well, that's never going to happen to me. I've been a Christian for a long time. I've had a solid and steady walk with the Lord. Well, God's word says different. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 warns that if you think you are standing firm, be careful lest you'd fall. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 warns us that this isn't a battle of flesh and blood. It says our struggles are not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. There is no neutral in the Christian walk. If we aren't being shaped by God's word, then we are being shaped by the world around us. And sadly, that's exactly what happened to Lot. As he slipped into neutral and slowly but surely drifted away from the Lord. And he made all sorts of compromises that not only damaged his witness to those around him, but also led his family into sin. There's always a risk, no matter who we are, no matter how long we've been a Christian, that the same thing could happen to any one of us. If we aren't being active in our walk with the Lord, spending time in God's word, praying and growing in our faith, then we aren't actually standing still. We're allowing ourselves to drift away from the hope we have in Jesus. So firstly, as we get into today's passage is showing those who trust in the Lord that compromise leads to sin. For Lot, this compromise began all the way back when he separated his household from Abraham's household, back in chapter 13. It was Abraham's idea that the two households separate because God had blessed both of them so much that the land couldn't support all of their livestock and all of their people if they stayed together. So there was nothing wrong with the two households separating. But it was the choices that Lot made after he separated from Abraham that led to compromise. Lot was Abraham's nephew. He would have known all about God's promise to Abraham, and he would have had first-hand experience of Abraham's faith over and over again. But even though 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 refers to Lot as a righteous man, those words imply that he was someone who feared God. Lot's faith in the Lord was both conflicted and compromised. Because as soon as he and his household separated from Abraham, they stopped being shaped by God's word and began to be shaped by the world around them. When given the choice of which land, any land he wanted to choose, Lot chose what appeared to be the best land, the lush plains of the Jordan. They were well watered and very fertile. And there was nothing wrong with that land except for its inhabitants. At first, Lot was just moving into the plains of the Jordan. He was living near Sodom, but not in it. But it wasn't long before the lure of the wealth and prosperity of the city stole Lot's heart. And by chapter 14, Lot had moved his whole household into Sodom. You see, he was no longer being shaped by God's word, but by the world around him. Back in chapter 14, we heard how Lot and his whole family were carted off as the four eastern kings raided Sodom. But with the help of the Lord, Abraham and his men went and rescued them. And yet, even after God had brought this incredible salvation for Lot and his family, they went back to living the same way. They went back to living among the wicked people of Sodom, as though nothing had even happened. Lot had gradually been desensitized to the sins of the people living around him, as he stopped being shaped by God's promises and started being shaped by the culture around him. And that led Lot slowly but surely into sin. Secondly, today's passage is showing those who trust in the Lord that sin damages our witness. As the two angels arrived in Sodom, Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. That should ring alarm bells right off, because it implies that Lot was an influential person in the city of Sodom. Some suggest that he may have even been a judge. He had found himself a comfortable, a respected position in this wicked city. Lot knew how evil the inhabitants of the city were. And we see this in the way that he warns the angels not to spend the night in the square. Lot knew the kinds of things that went on in that place. And so he insisted that the angels come under the protection of his house, because Lot thought that his guests would be safe there. But before they had even gone to bed, it says all the men of every part of the city, which may have even included Lot's own son-in-laws, surrounded Lot's house and called out, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out so that we can have sex with them." Now, I'm sure I don't need to explain this too much, but what they were asking Lot to do not only broke all laws of hospitality, but the created order that God has established within his creation. God explains this in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22. "You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination." The men of Sodom were acting incredibly wickedly. When Lot heard what the men of Sodom said, he went out and spoke with them. Lot said, "No, my friends, don't do this wicked thing." But when Lot said those words, the men of the city, they became offended. They thought to themselves, "How dare this alien, this foreigner, tell us what is right and wrong?" See, among the people of Sodom, compared to the people of Sodom, Lot was a righteous man. But by the time Lot was speaking out, Lot had been more shaped by the culture around him than he had by God's word. And that had destroyed his witness. Lot knew that what they were trying to do was wicked, but what Lot was about to suggest was just as wicked. Lot said, "I have two daughters who have never slept with a man. Let me bring them out to you, and you can do what you like to them." Now, I've read lots of different explanations trying to make sense of why Lot would do that. There are some that suggest that these girls were virgins who were betrothed, which they were. And so the men of Sodom would know that based on their own culture, they could do nothing improper to them. But I find that hard to believe the way that these men were acting. Others, even more radical, go as far as to commend Lot for putting his guests before his own family. But that doesn't take into account Lot's responsibility to protect his own daughters. I just can't explain how any father could treat their daughter in this way, other than Lot had compromised on his walk with the Lord. That had led him into sin. And even though he could still see that the men of Sodom were acting wickedly, Lot in many ways had become one of them. As the men of the city pushed against the door and tried to break it down, the angels pulled him back inside, Lot, that is, and then struck the men of the city with blindness so that none of them could find the door. If there was ever any doubt about the wickedness of Sodom, it was at this point completely gone. And so the angels urged Lot to make any family members living in that city aware of what was going to happen, because it would soon be destroyed. Sadly, as Lot tried to do that, his words fell on deaf ears. Why would they listen? Lot had compromised on how he knew God wanted him to live, and that had led him into sin. And his sin had so seriously damaged his witness that his own sons-in-law wouldn't listen. Lastly, today's passage is showing those who trust in the Lord that faith in God's promise saves. When Lot tried to warn his sons-in-law, they thought it was all a big joke. How could that possibly ever happen to this prosperous and wealthy city? How could it ever be destroyed? And even Lot, his wife and his own daughters, well, they were hesitating, even though they knew what the angels had said. They were finding it hard to leave the wealth and comfort of the city of Sodom. But God was incredibly merciful to them. God had his angels basically grab them by the hand and drag them out of the city, leading them by the hand. And as soon as they were out of the city, the angels warned them, "Flee for your lives. Don't look back. And don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you'll be swept away." But Lot's faith was almost non-existent. Lot was afraid. He still didn't trust the Lord. He was afraid that he wouldn't be able to make it to the mountains on time. And so he pleaded with the angels to let him flee to a smaller place, basically a miniature Sodom, Zoar, another wicked place. And so once they had reached Zoar, God rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah and destroyed the cities and the entire plain of the Jordan. But while all this was going on, Lot's wife, well, she looked back. She looked back because she longed for the comfort that they had enjoyed in Sodom. And as she did so, she was turned into a pillar of salt. The next morning, as Abraham got up and looked out to the place where Sodom and Gomorrah used to be, all he saw was smoke. But the Lord had remembered Abraham's faith in God's promise. And for Abraham's sake, Lot was saved. But as 1 Corinthians 15 says, only as one escaping from the flames. Now later, Lot and his daughters settled in the mountains because they were afraid to stay in Zoar. They had already seen what God had done to Sodom and Gomorrah, and they were fearful that that might happen in Zoar. But it wasn't long after they'd escaped before they began to act in a similar way to the people of Sodom. Lot's older daughter came up with a plan to get their father drunk so that she could sleep with him and have a child of her own. And then the following night, the younger daughter did the same thing. This wickedness wasn't motivated by sexual desire, but out of a desire for the kind of financial security that only children could provide in that culture. But if only those girls had gone to their father and asked them to find husbands for them from Abraham's household. If only they had cried out to the Lord and asked him to provide for their needs. But because Lot had compromised on his walk with the Lord and raised these girls in the wicked city of Sodom, they may have left Sodom, but Sodom had not left them. And through these incestuous relations, Lot became the father of both the Moabites and the Ammonites, who we later hear become enemies of God and enemies of Israel. And after all this took place, Lot doesn't get any more mentions for the rest of the Old Testament, because Lot no longer has anything to do with God's plan of salvation. Lot had compromised on his walk with the Lord. He had put his faith in neutral, and he'd been more shaped by the world around him than he had been by faith in God's promise. But because of God's incredible mercy and his promise to Abraham, Lot was saved as one escaping from the flames. In today's passage, we see just how far Lot had drifted away from trusting in the Lord. It's not as though he'd lost his faith entirely, though, but it was severely compromised as Lot put his walk with the Lord in neutral and chased after wealth and pleasures. Sadly, so many believers follow in Lot's footsteps. Lot lived in a place that he knew was very wicked, and yet it appears as though Lot never spoke out against the evil that was going on all around him. That is, until the men of the city tried to break down his door. But Jesus tells us in Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16, that those who trust in Jesus should be the light of the world. Jesus says, "A city on the hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." If we do what Lot did and put our walk with the Lord into neutral, we'll start to compromise on the way that God wants us to live and to serve him. But if we are actively reading God's word for ourselves, spending time with him in personal prayer, if we're being careful about what we read, careful about what we watch on television or see on the internet, if we're seeking to live in a way that brings glory to Jesus, then our lives will be shaped by God's word instead of this world. And we will be a shining light to those who don't know Jesus. Because when we aren't active in our walk with the Lord, reading our Bibles, praying, spending time with God, we aren't actually standing still. We are drifting away from the hope we have in Jesus. And in this world, the current is always flowing in the wrong direction. It was in Lot's day, and it still is in ours. And so if we aren't seeking God's will in our lives, then we'll go backwards without even realizing it. And so today's passage is asking us, are we living like Lot's sons-in-law, who are living as though the day of judgment will never come? Are we living like Lot's wife, who loved the pleasures and comforts of this world more than she loved God? Are we living like Lot's daughters, who are acting as the same as everyone else in the world? Are we living like Lot, believing, yet conflicted and compromised? Or are we choosing to live like Abraham, trusting in God's promise, seeking his way, the way that honors him. In today's passage, we've seen how God saved Lot from judgment, even though Lot didn't deserve God's mercy. And even though he had compromised in so many different ways on what God wanted for him. And in a similar way, God sent his son, Jesus, into the world to save people who don't deserve it, people who have compromised on what God wants for them. And he did all that by showing his great love for us while we were still living for this world. And he did that so we might be the light of the world, so that we might share the wonderful hope we have in Jesus with those who don't have that hope. There is no neutral in our walk with the Lord. We're either being shaped by God's word, being led by his Spirit, or we will always default to our old sinful nature and the ways of this world. Let's pray that we might be led by God's word and guided by his Spirit. Let's pray. Father God, we recognize that in many ways we are no different to Lot. We live in a world that is full of wickedness all around us, full of wealth and prosperity as well, and that we can be just as tempted as Lot to find our comfortable place here in the now. Lord, we pray that you would help us to live for you. Help us to live in the light of the hope we have in Jesus. Help the joy that we have in the salvation we have received to be the guiding light in our lives, so that our light might shine to those who don't know you. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.